Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Don't touch that dial. You're tuned in to the Dread Podcast Network.
Welcome to Development Hell. For every horror movie that hits VOD, countless others end up DOA. Development Hell is the podcast dedicated to unearthing these cursed horror productions. We're going to find out what went wrong and then decide if these titles still stand a shot at the green light. I am your host, Josh Korngut. I am the managing editor of Dread Central. I am also a filmmaker in Toronto, Canada. This podcast is a proud member of the Dread Podcast Network. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Development Hell. We are doing our second ever review episode. You loved the first one where we were, I'm going to say, pretty nice about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, all things considered. Today, we're talking about another splatterfest. We're going to be digging into Eli Roth's Thanksgiving. So this movie's in theaters right now. For that reason, we're going to do a mostly spoiler-free review. Nothing big will be revealed, but if you haven't seen it and you don't want anything given away, go watch it and then come check back in. So, returning today is Jules Bruin. Jules, how's it going?
Hi, I'm so glad to be back. It's going well. It's getting cold here in Canada, but it's good.
Yeah, very burr outside. Jules, yes. We're very grateful to have you here. Can you just remind the Development Hell audience a little bit about who you are?
Sure. I'm a therapist located here in Toronto, Canada. Been longtime best friends with Josh for a long, I said long time too many times, but yes. I focus on trauma, substance use, and mental health. And I'm sort of forced into the horror world via Josh. So I've watched a lot of horror movies kind of against my will.
But you love it.
I've learned to love them. Yes,
you've I will say. You've been on a record number of Development Hell episodes.
Yes.
I always like to try to remember offhand with my guests what they've been on. So here's what I'm going to do with you. We definitely did Reanimator or House of Reanimator. That definitely happened.
Yep.
We definitely did the Crooked Man.
Yep.
We definitely did Jaws 3 People Zero. That was weird.
That was weird.
We did, is it two episodes of the miniseries of Jeepers Creepers Unseen?
Yep, and I did one Halloween episode.
And you did, oh yes, you did a Halloween episode. We did Halloween 6.
Yes.
Recently. And don't forget about Winnie the Pooh.
Blood and Honey. The movie that Josh built.
It's true. I have a feeling most people in this audience by now know about the fact that I invented Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. And honestly, I'm so sorry. I'm really, it's not a good legacy.
It's not bad, though. I mean, I'd watch it again.
It is bad, and I would watch it again.
It's not great, but I'd watch it again.
It's like one of those movies that's like the fourth page, no, like eighth page of like horror on Tubi that somehow people know about it. And it will somehow is me, but.
And I feel like you click it because you're like, what? And then you end up
watching. Yeah, yeah. You're like, you thought the algorithm just like maybe made up a thumbnail, but yeah. No, it's real.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, Jules, you're back again. Shady's back. And today we're talking about Thanksgiving. Would it be okay? Yeah. Yum, 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 yum. Would it be okay if I gave a little bit of a seminar on this movie?
Do it. Let's all hear right. it.
Oh my God. So in the film, after a Black Friday riot ends in tragedy, a mysterious Thanksgiving-inspired killer known as John Carver terrorizes Plymouth, Massachusetts, the birthplace of this infamous holiday. People that know and people that don't know are about to know that John Carver was really one of the pilgrims who braved the Mayflower Voyage in 1620 and resulted in the Plymouth colony here in America. I think some people do associate him with American Thanksgiving, and I don't have too much to say about that. So, Thanksgiving itself, a 2023 slasher movie directed by Eli Roth and written by Jeff Rendell. It has a horror lineage dating back to when it was a fake trailer included in the Grindhouse film. People will remember Grindhouse from 2007, I believe, where Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino got together to release sort of this double bill Grindhouse, like gritty horror movie throwback energy. There was a bunch of different trailers split in between them, including Eli Roth's Thanksgiving. And a few of the other trailers have made it into feature film format. We have Machete, none other than Robert Rodriguez. We also had Hobo with a Shotgun, which I believe is Jason Eisner. And now for the third one, we've got Thanksgiving by Mr. Eli Roth. So this feature film stars Patrick Dempsey, Addison Rae, Milo Manheim, Jalen Thomas Brooks, Nell Verlacky, Rick Hoffman, and Gina Gershon. Whew, that was a lot. Are you still with me, Jules?
I'm here.
So what did you know about Eli Roth going into this movie?
So I hate to be this guy.
Uh-oh.
But I'm not really an Eli Roth girly.
Okay.
I don't like torture films. It's just not my bag. I don't find them fun in the way I find other horror movies. So I like the Hostel series. It's just not for me. I don't appreciate it. The one thing I will say about Eli Roth, I really like that he's kind of a fan along with other horror folks. So, you know, I watched the documentary that he made. God, what's that called again?
History of Horror.
History of Horror. Thank you. I actually really enjoyed that. So I like that about him, but he does come across a bit like a white cis douche horror boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say I'm like the huge. So I was excited for this movie, and then you told me it was Eli Roth, and I was like, ooh, my excitement's gone away a little bit. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Listen, he does get the rap of someone who sort of spearheaded and invented the modern torture porn trope, but he's only made technically two torture porn movies. Other than that, we have Cabin Fever, which is gross, but I wouldn't call it torture porn.
Ooh.
And I'm sorry, a bona fide classic, I think, at this point. Say what you will. It is disgusting, and it's hard for the squeamish, but I consider it to be a classic. And what else?
Oh, male gaze. It's like the most male gaze a torturing, gory pick could be.
Well, there is some problematic sexual stuff in that film, I will say. What else has he done? He did a kids movie called The Clocks in the Walls. He did Death Wish. You know, he had a real splash in like the early 2000s and kind of hasn't really done a lot of noteworthy stuff since. Oh, yeah, we had The Green Inferno, which was not received too well. And he's done sort of like a bunch of stuff on and off since then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was talking to my peers at Dread Central and even just people I know outside of work, you know, about my excitement for Thanksgiving, a lot of the pushback I got was, ooh, you know, we don't support Eli Roth. And I thought, oh, okay. Like, what did he do? Because I can only assume under that kind of, that something probably had happened. So today, getting ready for this review, I sort of did some digging into, you know, what are the controversies? What are the allegations against Eli Roth? And honestly, I have not really found much. Now, the biggest thing that I did know ahead of time was that he was involved in a very scandalous video that was depicting Lana Del Rey being raped. And I think this was like 10 years ago or something like that. And I believe, I'm not 100% certain, that it was like to the background of possible Marilyn Manson music. Nobody knows exactly what this project was supposed to be. This footage got leaked. And in the footage, Eli Roth is actually the one, I believe, like perpetrating the fake rape on Lana Del Rey. And it looks very like music video-esque, if you ever find it.
Wow.
No one knows what it is, if it was supposed to be for anything, if it was just like a screen test. There are rumors, but nobody really knows. Marilyn Manson, who is a famed assaulter, and should be in jail if he's not already.
Total predator,
denied it being any kind of Marilyn Manson product. So we just don't really know what that was. And that is what I would say is probably the most controversial thing Eli Roth has ever been involved with.
Was Lana Del Rey a part of that? Like, was she...
She was in the video.
She was actually in it. Okay.
Yeah. It was like, it's her.
Oof,
okay. Early in her career. And I don't know what she said on the matter or not either. Like, and I don't know, like, let's say hypothetically, best case scenario, it's like an actual film where like, you're like, it's not, I don't know, where like maybe the, like, there was context that made sense. And worst case scenario, it was like a edgelord music video. I don't know.
Casting couch, disgusting, predatory
weirdness.
Thing.
Weirdness. Yeah. But it was like, so it's kind of, that's kind of hard to explain, not great. But other than that, I haven't really been able to find cancelable reasons to not be into Eli Roth, other than the fact that he does seem like a bit of a douchebag, which is not a crime, in my opinion.
I agree, though. I do think I trust my gut. And I've had this with other male celebrities where I've been like, and Johnny Depp is my big one that I use. I felt this way about Johnny Depp from the get. I was like, he's a very good actor, but I don't like him. I can't tell you why. And then all this shit came out that he was, abusing women. I absolutely believe Amber Heard. Don't come for me. She is a victim in all this. And there's other people too that I feel this way about nothing's happened, but like Seth MacFarlane, for instance, he just comes across douchey and kind of predatory, but I love Family Guy. Listen, of course he's handsome. Eli Roth is very handsome. There are some men though that like give off a vibe. And I don't think you're right. It's not fair for us to then say let's cancel.
I don't think a vibe is necessarily worth.
I agree.
I think we should be trusting our impulses. Anyways, do I think you should take like a car with him alone? Yes, because I need that contact information. But
listen, if he came and was like, "Do you want to have a drink?" I'd be like, "Yes, tell me everything." I wouldn't be like, "No, you're a piece of shit," which I would do to like, you know, Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, that would be the one person. So yeah, that's being said. If there's, you know, stuff that PR people have buried that I just don't know about, let me know, because I'm interested. But if he's just kind of like douchey, then I will choose to support him moving forward, because, well, you'll find out, I guess, a little further in this episode. So general thoughts on his other movies before we really get into Thanksgiving. I think Cabin Fever is a classic. There are some moments in it, like a moment where like a sleeping or unconscious person, I believe, gets sort of fingered. Mm-hmm. That's not good. And I think that there is some really unnecessary uses of the N-word. But other than that, it's like classic. And I think it's like definitely one for the history books. Makes the idea of I can never get that like leg shaving scene out of my head. It like really fucked me up.
You do talk about that scene often.
Yeah, it's very talk worthy.
Yeah, for sure. No, it just,
And then the Hostel movies, I mean, say what you will, they have a certain place in horror history zeitgeist.
They do.
You know,
just
what?
Not mine, but they absolutely, I can't deny that.
There is an other leg scene in Hostel 2 that I literally have, it lives in my mind and I can't get rid of it.
Oof.
And there's a scene, and tell me if you, have you seen Hostel 2?
Nope.
Okay,
absolutely not.
Don't.
Not gonna.
There's just a scene where, like, I believe if I'm remembering it right, the camera is just sort of panning by all the different torture rooms, and you just get, like, a glimpse. Yeah, so there's a scene where, like, we're passing by all the different, like, different rooms of people getting hosteled, and one of them is just this, like, young man who's strapped to a gurney or a bed, and he can't move, and he's screaming and crying, and there's this old, like, German man playing classical music, with like a fork and knife, just eating him slowly but surely, like from the toe up.
Oh God.
And I was like, well, I'm never gonna be the same after that.
Yeah.
No. Sick son of a bitch.
No, thank you. I don't want to watch it. I mean, listen, people love the torture shit. I can't. It's not for me.
It's not for me, but there's something about it that's so grisly and old school that I really can appreciate it, especially when it's not going too hard, like in the case of Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Anything else from the history of Mr. Eli Roth that I think is noteworthy? No. I'm going to say no. Would it be okay with you, Juliana Brew, and if we talk about some of these characters and the actors that portray them?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, so I want to start with this group, this main group of teens that this movie stars. So we've got our final girl, Jessica, played by Nell Verlacky. Very quintessential 90s final girl.
Yeah.
What's your takeaway from Nell's portrayal of Jessica?
She had good moments. I gotta say, I really think the teen cast wasn't great. Across the board, I don't think the acting was amazing. She was probably one of the best ones of the bunch, but they weren't great. They weren't amazing. Like, I'm not excited to see her next movie, you know?
Well, that's fair, 100%, because some of them were really rough. Like, Addison Rae, we'll get into her.
Oof.
Horrible. So, like, she was terrible, but I'm sure she helped sell the tickets.
Of course.
And I personally really liked Jessica. It's really tough writing and portraying a final girl, because she's a conduit for everyone. Mm-hmm. Historically speaking, our final girls are not the most interesting. Like, Neve Campbell as Sydney, love her, love the movie, not the most colorful characters in that. Julie James, played by Jennifer Love Hewitt, what a snooze.
Yeah, you're right.
And I actually do think that Jessica gives me Julie James, kind of.
I agree. So
gives me. Yes. Like, and I do think that that's on purpose, that is masterminded by Eli Roth and probably this actor, where they're really going for something specific, and they accomplish that in like a really polished and purposeful way. And of course, that's not gonna create, you know, Citizen Kane, but that is gonna recreate I Know What You Did Last Summer.
You're right. And I think maybe this was polished by Eli Roth. But sometimes I wondered about the decision making in the acting a bit of like, does she know the references she's giving? Does she know, like, but maybe you're totally right. Maybe
I don't think she should necessarily know. I think it's Eli Roth that needs to know.
You're right.
And there's just moments in this movie where you see this ensemble, you know, standing shoulder to shoulder outside of a high school or next to each other in a car. And it was just like kind of a beautiful gut punch, because it just was like, whoa, this is what it was like watching Scream for the first time. Like, this was what it was like seeing the kids that I Know You Did Last Summer on the side of the road, like, freaking out because of a boot for the first time. There's something so quintessentially archetypal and almost cartoon about each individual character that it was like, it got me by my middle millennial gonads. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. There was totally it was so nostalgic. There were so many moments. There were so many moments that were like that. That you know, them at their school. Like, there were so many moments that were like, "Ooh, this is." It's giving me every feeling. Even her in the scenes where she is walking around and there are lockers everywhere, and like that to me, there was such a "Ooh, it was so 90s." You know, it was so
90s, and like in a liminal, I hate to use that word, way, like these moments where we're walking around this empty high school, which of course would never really happen. No. Although I have plenty of memories walking around an empty high school, so I guess it does happen, and it just truly is evoking 90s horror. And I think there's like, people are out here all of the time saying, oh, this movie, that movie, my movie is influenced by 90s horror. And it's never more than like giving someone the last name Carpenter or something stupid. Like, even though I liked that. But this one, it just really felt intricate. Like, it really felt like every decision, every movement was made to sort of recreate and reestablish that 90s horror slasher feel.
Totally. When I was watching it with you, we watched it together in the theaters and we left and I sort of was like, oh, it was kind of cheesy and all this stuff. And you were sort of like, but it was 90s. And as I've been thinking on it, I also watched this really neat interview with Freddie Prinze Jr., where he talks about the Star Wars franchise. And he says, like, these older adults are angry because the franchises aren't growing up with you. These movies were made for kids. Like, of course they're cheesy. Of course they're silly. And that really got me with this movie. It's like, yes, there were cheesy moments. Yes, there were, but because when we watched Scream and we watched I Know What You Did Last Summer, we were kids. So it was scary. So of course, with our adult minds, it's going to be kind of cheesy and corny. But that's actually really evoking the realness that was those original movies.
Totally. I agree with that 100%.
So, you know, in thinking about that, like these moments that I kind of rolled my eyes at, or I kind of was like, oh, I don't know if the acting's so great. You're right when you bring up like Jennifer Love Hewitt. Was she, you know, what are you waiting for? Was this like in a beautiful scene? No, we're laughing at it, right? But it was still, we were in it because we were kids. And I think you're right. I'm being a little harsh on these, on what's the lead actress's name?
Nell Verlacky. She does not have a Wikipedia page.
She's gonna get one. She'll get one.
She's gonna get one for sure. But she's if they make a sequel, I don't know who's gonna be in it. This is a spoiler-free podcast.
Is it? Oh god.
vaguely. So that's how I kind of feel about the young ensemble. Okay, Addison Rae, who's like, I would say the biggest name that this movie got, and probably the reason it was funded. horrible acting, like the worst of the bunch by a long shot.
I feel bad for saying how bad she was, because I don't know if she knew where she was.
She was like where am I? Is it
like Christmas? Not because I think she's stupid, just because I didn't understand, like, from the minute you see her, the way she speaks, you're like, oh, you don't know you're on film, honey. Like, you don't know what's happening.
But what I will say is there was moments where I was looking at her and I was like, I went to high school with you.
Like, oh yeah, she is like every pretty girl that you went to high school with.
Yeah, and like not pretty, and you, I don't. People realize like we don't mean that in the vapid like
no,
these are not people sense. Like no. We know these people.
Yeah,
and this is what they felt like. Like, and they were stupid, and they were humans, and they had hard lives.
Name names. I'm just kidding.
I think we're both thinking of the same person.
Yeah, of course we are.
It rhymes with play.
Don't name names.
So what I will say is that, yeah, her delivery was terrible, but I could hear someone that I went to high school talking and sounding exactly like that.
Me too. I will say the only ones that I didn't feel that way, the boys, the sort of like jocks wearing their you know, jackets were to me the most 90s of it all.
I like that.
I loved it too, but they weren't like people I knew. They were like,
well, we didn't know those people.
Quintessential, but I meant they were the quintessential movie guys, you know?
For sure.
Very like, even like, you know, God, the other Freddie Jr. movie, She's All That. Like, it gave you very She's All That. Like, make them, you know, that kind of like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that we're in this day and age where we're like subverting the bro trope.
Yeah.
Where like, he's not just like, a date raper anymore. Like, he's actually kind of funny and like quirky and like, did you see Bottoms?
No, I haven't yet. I really want to.
Bottoms did a perfect bizarre riff on the on the bro, where like it made them really weird and really human and like in love with each other, but like not homoerotic, just like just like weird boys. And it was very funny to see that, and he got that a little bit here. I liked Milo Manheim, who plays Ryan in
the second boyfriend.
So, yeah, the boy, like boy B, basically.
Am I right? I thought he was hot.
Oh, he's so hot. I was like, I think he looks so familiar. And I said this in chat, and nobody cared. I interviewed him for a show that he was on like last year.
I did care. I put a shocked emoji. Yeah,
you did. You didn't say anything. Yeah. You said nothing.
You did. Silence is violence.
Silence is violence. So yeah, I interviewed Milo for this cute teen show that he's on called School Spirits, which I actually do recommend. It's another spooky teenage moment.
You know what? He was great in the movie. He came across older than the rest of them because he had a maturity that the other ones
he's like in on the joke.
Yes, he's totally in on the joke. And there were also moments I think that's also why I'm kind of about the young actors is that some of the older actors or better actors, you could tell knew what was happening and the other ones kind of didn't get the references, it felt like.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe I'm being too harsh.
I don't know if any of them get the references. They're all TikTok generation, like, children. No,
but I guess I feel like some of the older actors that were playing some of the older characters were winking with us, not being winked at.
I do think, I agree with you that there's a sliding scale of talent on display here.
That's it. That's the nicer way to say what I'm trying to say. And like, I wish Gina Gershon was in more of this movie because she is.
Maybe she was. Spoiler free review.
I didn't say why. I just said she wasn't in a lot of it. I didn't say why.
Not
she was
in a lot of this movie. She was, you know, she's a bit of a cameo in it.
She is. She's just like a moment.
She's
great.
And
she's amazing.
I want to see more of her in horror. She was on a couple episodes of the Chucky season 2.
Yes. She's friends with Tiffany. Jennifer Tilly, who is everything.
Everything. She's also been on a bunch of episodes of Beverly Hills this season, so.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm not.
I feel like they might be priming her to be a cast member at some point.
That's hilarious, but she's too good for that. But that's hilarious.
She is too good for that, but that show's famous. Anyways, back to reality. We've also got Jalen Thomas Brooks as Bobby, Tommaso Sanilli as Evan, and Gabriel Davenport as Scuba. You know, these are, you know, I don't think they're really worth getting too deep
into. Fine.
It's fine. They're cute. They're patoot, and they're ready to get the boot.
But would you say any of them are like a Freddie Prinze? Like, are any of them breakouts to you? Because I wouldn't say they are.
I think Milo is the breakout.
Milo, absolutely. I agree. Milo is the breakout.
And he's not like I agree. He's not first build. He's not the number one boy. You know?
He's boy two.
He is literally boy two. He's not there at the finale with her, you know?
Nope.
I mean, maybe he is. But anyways, there's something about him. He's got charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Yeah. He is cunt.
What was the name of the nun? Sister
Kunt. Oh, right. Sister Kunt.
Yeah, he's Sister Kunt.
Sister Mary Kunt. Sister Mary Kunt.
And then we've got Patrick Dempsey, the other floating head on the poster. Mm-hmm. You know, he was recently announced as People's Sexiest Man Alive, and everyone in the world took a collective, huh? Like, what? Why? And then I watched this movie, and I said, I get it.
Wow.
I watched this movie, and I said,
what?
I am pregnant.
Josh.
I'm 32
weeks. I think you need to get your glasses checked, because you are a cuckoo banunu.
What? No, I've never cared about him. What?
I'm not saying he's ugly. I'm not saying he's unattractive.
Oh, like, no. He's attractive. What? He's attractive. Funny.
Of course, he's mixed steamy. But like,
he looks exactly the same as he did 30 years ago, but just with like gray hair, which is a look that I can
you
be
do
here
like
for.
That? I'm not saying he's ugly. I'm just saying he is not sexiest man alive. Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, he's no... Who's my favorite man from What We Do in the Shadows? You know, whatever. Yeah, he's hot. So he's not, you know, the most.
The guy plays Guillermo.
Yeah.
What is his name? Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he is cute. Yeah, he's cute.
He's sexiest man alive.
Okay.
I don't know what their genders pronouns truly are.
Oh,
that's one I would want to check in on.
True.
Yeah.
Anyways, whatever. Or they got. I don't know what happened. Never mind. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Wrong person.
He needs to be single for me.
Cut it out. I'm wrong. Wrong person. I think.
Yeah. So would you agree with me that that's sort of like a decent rundown on who, what, and where, and when?
Yeah, totally.
So, something that I think we are going to spoil, I'm so sorry, everybody, is the opening sequence, because every slasher movie's got one, and somebody's got to die.
You got to have a first kill.
You got a first kill, a couple first kills, honestly, in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was an interesting turn of the script, and it's something I kind of want to talk about. So, Julie, why don't you tell us what's going on at the start of this film?
So the start of this film, it's like a very rich family's Thanksgiving dinner, and you find out the dad of this family owns basically an all-purpose store, kind of like a Walmart or like a Best Buy or whatever. And he has a new hot young wife, and the hot young wife is like, and the guy's like, she convinced me to stay open on Thanksgiving and not actually take it as a holiday, so our Black Friday sale will start early. And one of the guys is like, oh, it's so annoying that I have to work tonight. But, you know, he told me I was fired if I didn't go to work. So he goes into work, and there's a crowd, and the crowd is getting crazy rowdy, and like, they're all on blockades, but they want to get in. And of course, the cheap CEO businessman only hired two security guards. Anyways, cut to the people storm the doors, and there's a full trample, full, you know, what we think of for America Black Friday, just kind of this chaotic scene, and people die from this chaos, from the capitalism that is inherent. That is the scene. And it's really gory.
It's gross. It gave me Final Destination energy.
It did. When you said that was a really good reference, because you were like, I'm loving this, and I was like, ugh, this is a roll eye moment for me. But thinking of it through Final Destination lens, which, you know, I love Final Destination, it made me like it more.
And I bet you money that like that was a reference that was brought up in the room. Like, I don't think. Yeah. Again, we got a couple of really grisly trampling moments, and it's gross and it's tragic, and it sets it up real nicely for someone, you know, to want to take revenge the next year. And basically that's what happens. We've got a killer dressed up as the town mascot, which is John Carver.
Yes.
And he is coming after people that were on the security footage that night, including most of our main cast.
And it's such a great thing of like the costume that the killer wears is the John Carpenter costume that everybody wears in this town at Thanksgiving. John Carver. Oh my God, of course, John Carpenter.
Kind of looks like John Carpenter, actually.
Listen, great costume. No, but so, you know, it's this costume that everybody wears anyways on this day, which is so, I know what you did last summer with the rain suit, the slicker. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was great. I really liked that sort of trope. And it also, because there was this big mass capitalistic murder, you know, or sorry, not murder, I guess like there were a bunch of accidental deaths. But because of this, it also led to the classic good old, is it you? Is it you? Like the sort of the whodunit of who's the killer? Because it could be like anyone, and all those red herrings of, you know, this person's mad, and which is always fun in these movies, even though it was pretty easy to guess who did it. We're not going to say who it was, but it was still fun. The sort of.
Totally fun.
The red herrings of people. Yeah.
Yes. Very like another thing that made it very classic 90s horror. And I Know What You Did Last Summer, which is like, I think the biggest takeaway here is once the killer starts to sort of get active, he sends them, all of like our main cast members, he like sends them a text message of like a Thanksgiving table, like dinner table with all of their names as different like place points around it. Like, you're invited for dinner.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, the dead people start to arrive for supper, basically one at a time. Love it. So stupid. So funny.
So dumb. And I love how like all these movies need to use like new tech, you know. I know did last summer it was a letter, and now it's like a text to a live stream. It was just really funny to me that I was
did
like,
you say, I know you did last summer used new tech and the new tech was a letter.
No, but I just more meant what I more that's a good point. What I meant though was like we didn't have this kind of tech, so they had to add a letter. Yeah. And now it's like a text to a live stream to a video chat. You know what I mean? It's just funny to me.
Because I'm sure in texts.
In 10 like years, that would be silly. No, I don't think we had cell phones that kind of way. And I Know You Did Last Summer, did we?
We did, but I could be wrong. We definitely had pagers.
Page, I Know You Did
Last Summer. Call me. Yeah, I'm a message.
Will Benson, yeah.
There's a moment in this film where there is a small town parade where, you know, everyone is wearing the John Carver mask. And it was just so evocative of the parade sequence. And I Know It Did Last Summer, where Sarah Michelle Gellar's on the float and she's looking in the audience and all of these people are wearing slickers.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't know who the killer is. And it was just like, really got me right in my 1997.
There were a lot of nice moments like this that you knew were like super deliberate, you know, homages. Like it wasn't copying. It was absolutely like paying respects to these movies. And that was really cool.
I want to talk about the gore because I don't know. I thought the gore was pretty exceptional in this movie without being too much. Like, we're talking about how Hostel was too much.
Yeah, the gore was incredibly cartoony and funny and fun. Like, it was over the top. Like, it was way more than we ever needed, but it was silly. Like, you know, I will say Eli Roth loves intestines, apparently, because there were multiple times where we saw intestines.
Silly, like Halloween... Spirit Halloween intestines.
Yeah.
We might have a couple of minor spoilers here, so maybe skip ahead a bit because I want to talk about some of the gore in it. One of my favorite gore moments was someone gets their head dunked in ice water and then pressed up against a freezer on the inside. And so like, she gets frozen to this like frosty freezer and then gets ripped off. And it's like, oh my god. And then like it's not even near the end. It's
no.
Horrible.
And then there's still more murdering to go for this woman. But yeah, there was also like other skin rips. Like there were these really funny, gross moments of and like really focusing on them. You know what I mean? Like really he really zoomed in so you could see the every inch of that skin rip off her face.
Oh, that was so gross.
Which was really fun. I had fun with it. It wasn't the kind of gore that makes me my stomach turn or makes me feel really scared.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there is gore that like I can't handle and it makes me think about it for the rest of my life. But this wasn't that. This was like it was really silly. But
it was so funny.
In a great way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because honestly, like if you're gonna really go for these 90s slashers, they're not exactly known for being the most disgusting, gory movies.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
They're a little bit more whodunit.
Yes.
Giallo a little bit, energy.
Yeah, a little more like just stabby, not so tortury. But
yeah.
I will say, like, it was definitely Eli Roth's take on a 90s horror, which I was okay with. I was super fine with the it was like every murder was Drew Barrymore, you know? Every murder was that intense first kind murder.
Of, yes.
Yeah.
Another moment that was really great was they used, I don't know what they're called, but those like spikes that you put into the ears of corn so you can eat the corn.
Yeah.
And they used that quite literally and someone got them pressed into her ears. Into
yeah,
her
I thought it was going to go into, we took a bet. I was like, it's going to go into someone's eyes. And you were like, no, it's going to be literal into the ears, which makes more sense. I guess I thought it was going to be grosser because I don't know, whatever. I thought they were like motioning to eyes.
I think ears is pretty gross.
It's disgusting. Oh, it's horrible. But yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Any gore moments that stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, I always have a thing about burning, and somebody does get kind of burnt in this movie.
Kinda.
She gets fully burnt. She gets cooked, let's just say.
Yeah.
That's cooked. A little hard for me. It wasn't as bad as I thought. I was like, oh no, this is gonna fucking tip me over, but it was okay.
It was bad though. It wasn't good.
It wasn't good. I wasn't happy about it. I can't say I like thought about it forever. But I loved the trampoline scene, which I know is a scene that everyone's like talking about, and it's the scene. To me, it was so fun just to watch a woman get stabbed through a trampoline. It was great.
What now, I want in the original Thanksgiving trailer from like 20 years ago.
Yeah,
the knife went up.
Oh, I'm glad it didn't go up her vagina. That would have ruined it for me. It didn't.
It wasn't like that this time.
Not to spoiler it, but it's not as sexist as that. It doesn't like
where does it go?
Penetrate her. I think it goes on just on her backs and stuff. It hits her and then she like falls down and then she just like stabs through it as she like bounces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They did. He made a good update for that. I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought then it became just like fun. And I also like so that was sort of just like a fun kill.
I sometimes don't watch and I get grossed out.
Yeah, often Josh will take me to these horror movies and then force me to watch the parts that he's too afraid to watch. He covers his eyes and covers his ears. He does the whole bit. And then he'll be like, what happened? And I have to tell him the horror.
No, it just happened. I was like, so where did you get stabbed? I wasn't watching.
Yeah, exactly.
They will never believe you, Jules.
Well, now you know. If you don't know, now you know.
If you don't know, now you know. And I would say this movie was funny. Like, yeah. You know, the term horror comedy is a pretty dirty term, and yeah, not a lot of people like it a lot. Mm-hmm. And historically speaking, horror comedies don't make money. Because how do you sell it? Mm-hmm. I would say that this wasn't a horror comedy, that this was a horror movie with comedic undertones. How do you feel?
Ooh, that sounds more douchey to me. But yes, I agree. I think this was a horror movie through and through, but I think it was like a slasher movie, which I think when slasher movies are done well, they have comedy in them. And so I think that's what this was. It was like a well done slasher movie. So it was silly. It was campy.
Not
it was
not all true those about all slasher movies.
Maybe you're right. Like the first Halloween wasn't scary. I mean, wasn't
no.
funny.
I know you did that summer. I had no sense of humor.
Oh, see, I guess we're laughing at it. We're not laughing with it.
Only Scream has a sense of humor.
I don't know.
I guess. Urban Legend did.
Yeah, Final Destination does.
I don't call that a slasher.
Really? God's the killer. He's the slasher.
Fair enough. But or is death the killer of the slasher?
No, death is like, man.
Or is Satan the killer of the slasher? Because
No, it's not Satan, it's God.
Well, all three of them do come to play. Anyways. I don't know. I think it was only Scream because Scream kind of was like a satire.
I guess you're right. I guess when I think of watching slasher movies, I think I'm usually laughing. I'm usually having a good time, but I guess I'm laughing at them. I'm not necessarily laughing with them, which I think you're right. In this movie, we're more laughing with it, yeah, like we would with a Scream. But like even like, you know, Sleepaway Camps or Friday the 13th, like I'm laughing, but you're right. I'm not laughing.
They weren't laughing at
you're right. Them. You're right. You're right. You're right.
They were so scared of Angela.
Right. Oh.
I know. Poor Angela.
Poor Angela.
We gotta get you watching those sequels.
Yeah, I should watch them. I can't believe they made more. Oh, I can't believe that movie did well enough to make more.
I'm surprised there hasn't been like a big budget reboot.
Oh, because it's so transphobic. What are they gonna do?
Well, that's the thing. You could make
it.
Of course. You update it.
But then why would she be killing if she wasn't trans?
You find there's so many things that you could do with that.
Obviously
you'd make the lead trans, right? Like,
oh, right. Like the person.
Yeah, like, and then like
the driver.
Like, oh, did you hear that there was like a chick with a dick that like went off on a killing spree? Uh-huh. And she's like, no, I'm trans. Don't say that.
Disgusting. Yeah.
And then like a trans amorous person is the killer or something. You know? There you go. There you
wrote
go.
It. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Can I be one of the people that gets killed in it?
Trans amorous productions.
Trans amorous. I want the curling iron to go up my vagina. That's that movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did it?
So, Jules.
Yeah.
Final thoughts.
I liked it a lot. I liked it even more on reflection. So okay. When I first watched it, I was like 3.5 out of 5. It was fun. On reflection, I'm at a 4. I think it's a great movie. I really want to watch it again. I think it really knows what it's doing. Of course, there are really corny moments. There are like Addison Rae, like we said, you know, oofa boofa. whatever. It's fine. The acting is whatever. But the direction, again, is like campy and silly. There's lots of like weird puns, but I think those are all deliberate, which made me into it. I'm into it. I like it. Watch it.
And so the star rating officially is
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
What do you feel?
I love it. I think it's maybe the first of its kind that I have seen really successfully evoke and reestablish that 90s slasher vibe. Yeah. And I didn't even know what was possible to do. And I think maybe we needed this much distance from that stuff to be able to do it right with someone that was really passionate about that genre to get it right, but not someone that was going to be too precious. And I think with Eli Roth, you kind of got a perfect hybrid of someone who probably at the time was like a little bit too cool for school when it came to slasher movies, but like definitely saw all of them.
Right.
And yeah, I think this team really knocked it out of the park. I loved it. It was disgusting. It was funny. I was scared sometimes. Like, they really got the tropes down right. Like, I loved these kids, even though they're not great. Like, I really hope if we get a sequel that it's not a new group, that, like, we get these girlies back in act. But you know, it's not perfect, but like if it was, it wouldn't be doing its job right. So
yeah,
easily a 4 out of 5 for me. It was like so simple that it's like complicated, and I really appreciate it. And anyone that's a fan of 90s horror, slashers, Scream, I Know We Did Last Summer, all of that, this is mandatory viewing for sure.
I agree. So, absolutely.
Yeah. God, I loved it, Jules.
Yeah, no, it was, it absolutely is mandatory viewing. It is such a great party movie too. I really recommend, you know, this is like a once a year kind of movie, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Rent it with friends, have a couple drinks or tokes or whatever you want to do, or be sober, whatever, just have a couple snacks, and watch this and be, and it's just, it's a good time. Just a good time.
Now, Jules, since this is probably the last time we're going to hear from you this year.
Wow.
I know. I'm just kidding. I know. Well, we'll see what happens. You know what? I could be wrong. I'm just wondering, what were some of your favorite horror movies this year? If you'd like, I can run through, you know, what's kind of come out.
Well, I off the top of my head, I loved Talk to Me.
Mm-hmm,
I really loved that movie. It really hit for me all those places, you know, with trauma and mental health and all those different things. So that movie was really great. I loved this movie. This is really fun. Yeah, can you remind me of some other ones that maybe I've seen?
Sorry. Megan came out this year.
That was fun.
The new Scream.
I haven't seen the new Scream. I'm a bad person.
The new Evil Dead.
I did see that. That was fun too.
Yeah, you know. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say Talk to Me and Thanksgiving are my standouts. I liked the other ones. Listen, I liked Evil Dead Rise.
You saw Cobweb.
I've seen, they're all, you know, those are good. They're good.
What am I doing here right now?
They're fine. They're good.
The Pope's Exorcist.
Oh, that was, we did see that. We saw that in theaters.
People fucking loved it.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they say they do.
They literally did it on How Did This Get Made. Yeah, that's how bad it is.
People say it's like, it's campy and fun.
What? No.
I know. It's horrible. I know. You people, this is what they're saying. Oh, don't forget that I forced you to see Dracula on a boat.
Oh, Dracula on a boat.
Jules will see anything with me. She's pretty good about that.
I am.
And then I brought her to see Last Voyage of the Demeter and what happened.
Oh, I told him he was on probation for making me watch movies, because I normally don't even look into them. I'm just like, sure, whatever, let's go. He'll say, I want to see a movie, because, you know, he does all this stuff. He writes these great articles. So I'm just fine. I'm just game to go with him. And that was like, oh, I now have to research what you're bringing me to. The trust has been broken, because that was real hard for me.
I didn't like that one very much either, but people like that one too. So you know what? There's something for everyone.
Well, hey, listen, I'm not. Maybe I'm wrong, but that movie was really boring. Yeah.
So funny. Well, Jules, we love having you. And, you know, if people want to find you online, how can they do that?
I mean, they can find me at JulesRulesYourWorld, _ in between all of them. That's my personal account. Or Trivial Bitch, because I also host trivia. But yeah, I'm not that interesting.
I think that you are.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And I'm hoping that we make this more of a thing. You know, listen. Yeah. To this twice, show me that you want more review episodes. I've heard from some of you out there that you do, and maybe we'll make Jules a bit of a tradition. We'll see.
I'd love it. I really appreciate doing this, and thanks for listening to me, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to Development Hell. If you enjoy this podcast, then please do us a major favor of leaving us 5 stars and writing a positive review. It really makes all the difference in the world. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode of Development Hell.
Thank you for listening to the Dread Podcast Network.